For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Paul Disciples Timothy, as we pick up in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we turn now in our Bibles to the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles? We remember at the end of our study last week, there arose a contention between Paul and Barnabas, who had been close companions on the first missionary venture of the church. But because Barnabas was insisting on taking his nephew, John Mark, who deserted Paul and Barnabas on the first trip, Barnabas was wanting to take him on the second trip, and Paul was objecting because of his defection on the first trip. They had a dispute over this, contention so great that Barnabas took Mark and headed off for Cyprus, and so Paul took Silas, and they headed for Asia Minor. So, in chapter 16, then he, Paul and Silas, came to Derbe and Lystra. Derbe was one of the few places where Paul had a very peaceful, uneventful kind of a ministry. It didn't end with a riot or with Paul getting jailed or stoned or anything. He was able to leave town fairly peacefully, which was unusual for his ministry. But then they came to Lystra, where Paul was stoned and thought to be dead and drug out of town, thinking that he was dead. And behold, there was a certain disciple there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, who was a believer, and his father was a Greek. Now, this second coming of Paul to Lystra was probably some 5 years after his first visit, when he was stoned. Coming back to that place where he had planted a church 5 years later, it was no doubt extremely encouraging to Paul to see that there was a church continuing in that area. They were going on in the Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should be my disciples and that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." And a very important part to any ministry is the remaining fruit. It's not really how many people you can get excited and make a commitment to Jesus Christ. 5 years later, how many people are still going on with the Lord? That's what really counts. And coming to Lystra, they found this certain disciple, Timothy, who probably had accepted the Lord 5 years earlier under Paul's ministry there in his first journey. But now, of course, in the 5 years, he's grown up, he's matured, and here he is, a faithful disciple. His mother a Jewess, his father a Greek. And he received good reports about Timothy from the brethren that were there in Lystra and Iconium. He came highly recommended. And Paul wanted Timothy to join them. Now, earlier Paul had had Mark on a journey. It was handy to have these young men. with a lot of energy and enthusiasm going along. And also, I believe, there was that desire to disciple Timothy. I think that discipleship is a very important part of the ministry. When God has blessed and used a person in the ministry, I think that they, if they are wise, will always be looking towards the next generation. I have a very keen interest in young people, who have those God-given abilities, anointings upon their lives. I like to invest time with them because they are going to be carrying on when we're carried off. And I'm concerned that the work of God go on. And so Paul, no doubt, had asked Timothy to go thinking of the fact that he wasn't going to be there forever and the training of these young men to carry on the work once they are gone. So Timothy became a companion of Paul. In six of Paul's epistles, as he opens the epistle, he includes Timothy in the greetings. Paul writes two epistles to Timothy. Paul speaks of the help that Timothy was to him. He asked that they would send Timothy to him speedily, bringing some of the documents and all that he was desiring. And so there came a very close relationship between Paul and Timothy, who Paul called my own son in the faith. So Timothy was one of Paul's converts, but then he was also tutored by the Apostle Paul. So Paul would have him to go forth with them, and they took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. Now, what were these decrees from the apostles in Jerusalem? That you as a Gentile don't need to be circumcised to be saved. And so it is interesting that Paul had circumcised, or had Timothy circumcised, when they are then going right out and telling the Gentiles, you don't have to be circumcised in order to be saved. This was the decision of the church in Jerusalem. Then why is it that we have a paradox? Why would then Paul see that Timothy was circumcised? I am certain that it was just that beautiful adaptability of Paul, not wanting to create a greater havoc than already existed among the Jews, who knew that Timothy's father was a Greek. And so rather than just having a hassle with him, it was go ahead and do it. What difference does it make? It doesn't matter. Go ahead. And for the sake of these contentious brethren, go ahead and be circumcised. It was, as Paul wrote later, I have learned to become all things to all men that I might gain the more. To the Jew I became as a Jew. To those that are free from the law I became as one who is free from the law. All things to all men. And I think that this is just a part of Paul's philosophy, and I think that it is a good philosophy. As he wrote to the Romans, live peaceably with all men as much as lieth in you. As far as is possible on your part, live at peace with all men. And if some issue comes up and it, is no big deal to you, go along with it. Instead of, making a big issue and creating a big scene over it, just be cool and flow with it, And this was Paul's philosophy, just to get along as best as possible. Now, when it came to a thing of conscience or faith, then you stand your ground. Now, when the church in Jerusalem was trying to throw the law upon the Gentiles, Paul stood his ground. When Peter, there in the church of Antioch, who was eating with the Gentiles, until certain brothers came down from Jerusalem, and then Peter separated himself and wouldn't eat with the Gentiles, and it caused a division there in Antioch, Paul said, I withstood him to the face because he was at fault, creating this division by his separating himself from the Gentiles as though there were in Christ some division between Jew and Gentile. So on a matter of principle, a matter of conviction, stand your ground. But where, you know, there's no big deal, flow with it, go for it, you know, and just to keep peace among the brethren. I think that that was no doubt Paul's philosophy behind the circumcision of Timothy when they are carrying the very message from the church in Jerusalem, you don't have to be circumcised if you're a Gentile and keep the law in order to be saved. So, just because they knew that his father was a Greek, Paul had him take the rite of circumcision, just to keep peace. So they went through the cities, delivering the decrees from the church in Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and they increased in number daily. The early church was a powerful church. It was a successful church. And as we will soon see, it was a church that was under the direct governing power of the Holy Spirit. He was guiding the activities of the early church, and I believe that that was the reason for success. It was a tragic day when in the church, man decided to substitute the work of the Holy Spirit with his own work. Paul wrote to the Galatians later, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you would so soon turn from the truth? Having begun in the Spirit, will you now be made perfect in the flesh? And I'm sure if Paul were writing to the general church today, the whole church, he would write an epistle to the church of Jesus Christ of the 20th century. O foolish people, who hath bewitched you that you should turn from the truth? The church having begun in the Spirit, do you think that you can perfect it, complete it in the flesh? And yet, when we look at the church today and we see all of the man-made programs, all of the fleshly hype, I'm hyped to death when I turn on television or when I listen to the radio or some. Thank you, brother, whoever you were, put me on the mailing list of some of these high-powered evangelists who have more gimmicks than I can believe to get me to send them an offering. I don't want to get into that. Now, these churches, without the programs, the pressures, and without all of these modern conveniences and assists that we have today, were increasing daily just as the result of the Word of God being taught and the fellowship of the body growing. Their numbers increased daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit would not allow them. And so they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas. Now, Paul is trying to move north into Asia, but every attempt he makes is being blocked by the Spirit. Now, it is interesting that it tells us that the Spirit forbade them to go and preach the word in Asia. The Spirit would not allow them to go to Bithynia. How is it that the Spirit forbid them? By what process? It is interesting, they do not tell us by what process. Was there a word of prophecy that came? Surely Paul would have had to have been assured that the prophecy was from the Lord, because he was a strong-willed person. How did the Spirit forbid them? We really don't know. Many believe that the Spirit forbid them through Paul's sickness, that Paul was just too sick to travel. Now, you remember when Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, you remember how that when I was with you, notice they were passing through Galatia here, how I ministered to you out of great weakness, physical infirmity. And you showed such great love and concern for me because of my physical infirmities. I think that that does give us a very strong hint of the method of the Lord in stopping Paul. It is interesting, as I said, he was a very stubborn kind of a person. I mean, he was one that was hard to stop. When he wanted to do something, he was going to do it no matter what. When he was determined to go back to Jerusalem, there was no stopping him. His friends, when the prophecy came and said, you know, you're going to be in prison when you get to Jerusalem, and his friends began to weep and say, oh, Paul, don't go. They're going to throw you in jail. He said, hey, what do you mean by these tears? You're trying to dissuade me? Don't you realize that I'm not afraid of being thrown in jail? I'm ready to die for Jesus in Jerusalem. So you just don't stop those fellows with a tap on the shoulder and say, I don't think you ought to go there. Paul's an unstoppable kind of a fellow. And this is a good characteristic in one sense. Surely he would not have been able to endure all of the hardships of his missionary ventures had he not had this strong, powerful spirit. Yet, our strong points can also sometimes be our weak points. And if this strong point is not totally yielded to God, then it can become a weak point in my life. And it means that when God wants to direct me, he has to get pretty tough. And it is possible that Paul was so determined to go to Asia that God had to put him on his back and make him so sick he couldn't get out of bed. And after several days in bed, not able hardly to roll over, he said, well, the Spirit forbid us to go to Asia. And so then we attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit would not allow us. And so we went on to Troy. So there at Troas, Paul had a vision. And there appeared to Paul in the night a man of Macedonia, and he prayed to him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So Paul, in a night vision, saw this man from Macedonia crying for help. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. Now notice, here we have a plural pronoun, we. You remember that Luke is the author of the book of Acts. This is the first time the personal pronoun is used. So it is no doubt here at Troas where Luke met Paul, and it is very possible that the reason why Luke met Paul is because Luke was a physician and Paul was so sick he was about to die. That's one possibility. There are others who believe that Luke was the man that Paul saw in his vision, crying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Whatever the case may be, now Luke turns to the personal plural pronouns, because at this point, Luke became a companion with Paul. Notice it in the rest of the verse. "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them." So the we and the us as Luke joins Paul's party at this point.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 16. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bring you into a special consciousness of His presence, of His love, of His interest in your life. And may you walk in the consciousness of God's grace and be led by His Spirit. May you come into a new relationship with God, a very personal relationship with God. In Jesus' name.
Caught in a storm? The Lord stands by you. His purpose sustains you, and God's word will encourage and guide you through the darkness. The Lord's promise, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," is a certainty that will never fail. Troubles come to all of us at one time or another, and even the strongest faith can sometimes waver as hope for a brighter future seems dim. In the Word for Today resource, When the Storm Hits, Pastor Chuck Smith brings encouragement to anyone struggling with life's burdens. From the ability to discern spiritual warfare and how it can affect our emotions, to the realization that God is intimately aware of the storms we are going through, this book will restore hope and peace to the weariest of believers. You can order this resource at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of
is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.